We kick off hour number two of the program. It's Three and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Crest, Billy Williford, Intern Will, full house today on this Tuesday edition of the program. This segment brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union as they celebrate 85 years this year in East Tennessee. Right now, 3% on a Jumpstart savings account for anyone age 17 and under, and a higher dividend rate for the first $500. So teach your kids how to save early with the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Go to tvacreditunion.com for more details. We go now to the phone lines. We kick off hour two. Still talking NBA Finals, of course. Kevin Durant's injury. The Warriors still win. Now we go game six back to Golden State. And obviously an if necessary game back at Scotiabank Arena in Toronto.
Oh,
if this thing goes seven. Tweet, what's up, buddy?
Hey, boys.
Morning.
So are you inferring they said that he's fine and can't hurt himself further, or they actually made the statement?
No,
seems like something's been attributed to them that
made the statement because it was reported before the game that was what they told Doris Burke. Doris Burke said right before the game, I asked the doctors, could he hurt this more? They said he could, you know, tweak it again, kind of the same level. But she even said, but we don't think that there's no risk of him injuring his Achilles. She even said the word Achilles.
Unbelievable. I was going to say, I mean, he didn't hurt his calf. He hurt his Achilles. I mean, I guess they're close to each other, but.
If
nothing happened, it's like if he went out there and tore his knee or something like that, they'd be like, well, he shouldn't have played. I mean, it happens. You know what I'm saying?
You're absolutely right. And honestly, like, that could have been exactly what happened here. This could be a completely separate incident from what happened before, but it's hard not to draw the parallel when he goes out with a quote-unquote calf injury. Doris Burke, before the game, brings up the Achilles unprompted, which had not been mentioned until yesterday, to my knowledge. Not specifically. And then he goes out and in 12 minutes likely ruptured the Achilles. The MRI today will confirm.
It's just a series of stuff. It reminds me of when that dude threw behind the guy from the Braves, Acuna, and he made some wild, like, thing and jerked his elbow back and got hit in his elbow, and everybody went crazy over it. I was like, look at him. He threw his elbow. Anyways,
I remember
threw his
that.
Elbow behind
yeah.
his bit.
Like,
yeah,
he kind of moved his elbow into the path of the pitch.
And
everybody wanted to freak out, and it's like, well, he kind of brought that
if
one on
himself.
If he'd
just done what he'd do, just get down, he wouldn't have gotten hit.
Yeah.
I mean, it just boys, another thing, all the pearl-clutching about the crowd, listen – and I can't claim this is my 100% original thought. I stole it from my buddy. But if you tweeted out a stanky leg, or if you ever laughed at the stanky leg tweets about, what was his name, Nick Chubb from Georgia, if you ever got involved in any of that, you probably shouldn't call in crying about the crowd. You really shouldn't. I don't care. I mean, a few people cheering, some people cheering. I mean, it's just because some, it's not all. Honestly, I mean, is it really that big of a deal? Is it scummy? Sure. I might not cheer out loud when Chubb got injured, but in my mind, I'm like, yes, thank you, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, that's a weird kind of like fan mentality because I get it.
Dead.
Like if I'm a Raptors fan, like if you're wanting to, you know, celebrate a victory in the NBA Finals, Kevin Durant not playing is a good thing for you. I just think time and place. And I'm with you, Tweet. Like, thinking it in your head is one thing. Like, that's the beauty of the human brain. Like, we can have internal thoughts that no one ever knows about. But when you stand and clap and wave goodbye to the guy who
goodbye, that's next level.
Yeah,
oh,
like
that was a guy.
Like,
yeah,
that takes it to like an uncomfortable.
He was waving goodbye
place.
Like he had fouled out of the game.
Right.
You know, like
yeah,
when
yeah.
The, when the students get
like
on
car
there.
Keys, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's like, yeah, that, buddy, that's you're, it's a little too far. A little too far for my liking.
I don't know. That's kind of pretty good. I don't. I mean, I'm just not a big. It happens. I mean, you're all thinking it. Just somebody had the audacity and enough alcohol in them to do it.
I was gonna say those Canadian Labatt Blues got my boy feeling loose.
There's a line between thought and action, and when you're at the game, like your actions. That's the whole sportsmanship.
In fairness, too, they didn't know the severity of the injury when he goes down. I mean,
for all
they know, he
just
tweaks an ankle
again,
and needs to get out of there. Yeah.
I'm no biblical scholar, but if you think it, isn't that the same as doing it? If it's in your heart, it's in your heart.
Yeah.
You guys are better at that stuff down there than I am.
You'd have to give me an hour to explain that. tweet. I was just learning about that in Sunday school this past week. So you'll have to meet me somewhere and get some coffee, and we can go through all the layers of of eye for an eye and thought being sin and all that. But later that maybe a podcast.
Hey, speaking of sin, can we give Kellen Winslow Jr. a shout out?
Ooh, no, we cannot. No, we cannot. Apparently, that's the dumbest jury in the history of the world. So,
well, I mean, how do you fall? How do you go from that to that?
I have no idea. Maybe we'll need to update some people on the Kellen Winslow Jr. situation. But it is
Kellen Winslow Jr. update. It'd be beautiful.
Oh God,
make for great radio.
It's,
Boys, that'll be good.
Thanks you for too, the call, thanks. Tweet. Be good. I think.
Have you been following that at all, by the way?
I have.
Dog, that whole situation, it is scary, disgusting, and it really makes you wonder about the justice system in our country. The questions that the jury have asked the judge about, like, their deliberation makes my head hurt. Can you explain what the law means versus what we think it should mean? I mean, it is unreal. It's like, what?
Was that the same case where one juror was, like, called out another juror for having bad memory?
It might, maybe.
Like, there was an alternate juror who sells TV for a living.
Oh, I don't know.
And
I don't remember this
he
part.
Was discussing TVs with another juror who said, yeah, I just bought a brand new TV. And the guy was like, what brand is it? Like, I don't know. I can't remember anything. And so the guy went to the judge like, this guy can't remember what TV he bought the other day. I don't think he's going to remember any of the evidence in the trial.
Some of the notes they've passed back
know.
To the judge.
That may be
bad.
A different case.
Very bad.
You know, whatever. Maybe we'll get into that later. I mean, back to tweets. One of his points. No, I think it's disgusting when someone posts on a message board, you know, Neyland Stadium sure took care of his knee, didn't it? Ha 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 ha. Like, no, that disgusts me also. Just the same way people cheering for injuries does too. Like, I mean, you can separate, like, to me, you have to separate the human aspect and the gameplay, right? To me, like, I can, in my head, think of a game, whether it's Tennessee football, Tennessee versus Georgia, or Toronto and Golden State, kind of like I do a board game where, like, this is just for fun, it doesn't matter, and their piece just got knocked off the board.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I think you have that human thought of, oh, man, that sucks for Nick Chubb to have to go I don't know. I've seen real athletes have to go through that.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah, like I
mean, imagine putting so much into your profession and then all of a sudden, okay, you can't do it for 6 months or 9 months or a year or whatever.
Yeah, but I think in the moment, and I'm not making excuses for it because I don't cheer injury. I will not do it. But I think, to your point, a lot of those people in the crowd probably did view that as like, oh, we just got their queen. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
We just took a big important piece off the board. This is very good news for us. I think in that moment, there's a lot of, okay, my team is now at an advantage against our opponent. I'm celebrating that. You're celebrating the removal of this really good piece. I think they were celebrating regardless of what it was, right? Maybe it had been a foul out. Maybe it had been, two technicals, whatever. I think they're just cheering because he's out of the game. And then I would bet if you went and asked the people who cheered, if you had it to do over again, would you? And they'd be like, probably not. No.
Yeah.
I was in game mode. I wasn't thinking about Kevin Durant, the person. I was thinking about number 35 for the blue team who's killing us right now. So I think there's levels. And I think a lot of times those tweets that come later, the jokes that come later regarding Nick Chubb, in those situations, I think they're done not because you're celebrating the actual injury to a specific person, but they're done to kind of poke the bear, like poke the opposing fans.
Yeah.
Like to bring back the memory of that loss.
I mean, how do we feel about Georgia putting the Kimbrough or whatever his name?
Right, Kimbrough on the ticket.
On the ticket.
Yeah.
With Shai Tuttle,
yeah.
Right? Is that okay? We didn't like that as Tennessee fans. So kind of depends on which side you are on.
Right.
Sometimes.
And that's the thing. Like, I think some people can kind of separate it. Like, I don't I don't think that was Georgia like celebrating the fact that Shai Tuttle was severely injured. I think that was just a way to kind of poke back at just the situation in general. So I like dark comedy, so I can understand why people go there, and I understand the weird humor in it. It's just not something I would choose to do. And I'm not going to stand and cheer when, I mean, I can remember in games where an opposing player goes down and I'm, you know, watching the game with some buddies and you kind of look at each other like, oh, this could help us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a, ha, 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 that guy got hurt. Oh, man, he's got a long rehab ahead of him. Ha, ha, ha. I think there's a difference.
Yeah.
And in that moment last night, like I said, I think most Toronto fans, I would hope, they're cheering the fact that number 35, who averages 26 points a game, is out. Not Kevin Durant, the person, just tore his Achilles, and I'm really excited about that.
Well, and it definitely wasn't all of them. When there's the cheer when there's a turnover because it's a fast break for Toronto. Then there's kind of that cheer of him being hurt. Then when he stands up and walks, it's almost like there's two cheers at once. I felt like there was the polite golf clap for him getting up and, like, you know, the, like, okay, the hurt guy's up. You know, like, we're applauding the injured guy because he's up and on his feet. And then there was another same kind of more malicious cheer at the same time. So it's, you know, you can't diagnose everyone's motives in that moment when there's thousands of people in the same room.
It's a bad night for diagnosis.
There's physicians on Twitter arguing about what the injury actually is.
Oh, good.
Based on the video. So I'll tell you what a couple of those guys said on the flip side, because there's very differing opinions there.
Are you saying you might be back for game six?
We'll come back. We'll be back next segment. That's all I can promise at this point. Stick with us right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
You're listening to 3 and Out, WKGN.
Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Reading some of that Kellen Winslow jury talk. Whew. Yeah, we'll come back to that later. There's a Twitter beef between some docs. You know, there's this little... some of these guys have become like video sports diagnosis experts. And I don't know... I don't have a go-to or whatever, but... couple of them are arguing. One of them says, at the start of this video, if you've seen the video of Kevin Durant getting hurt, you know, he goes down and he reaches. At first, he kind of grabs his, like, way up on his calf. Then he immediately goes down to the Achilles area. It says, at the start of this video, KD is actively plantar flexing his ankle to check if he can still do it. He's able to. That tells us it's not a full Achilles rupture. Could be a partial Achilles. Could be, and then throws out a few other things. The screenshot's kind of cut off for me here. And like, that was my first thought as well. He's checking it. He can you know, bend his ankle that way with the way an Achilles controls. So I thought, well, that's good news. He's probably just tweaked his calf again. And then, of course, it got worse after that as the game went on and they had more reports and all that kind of stuff. And as I mentioned... You know, I know you can diagnose the Achilles rupture pretty easily based on how much your toe flexes when you test it in the back of your lower calf. Another doc quote tweeted that one and said, "Respectfully, I disagree. The toe flexors and posterior tibialis tendon can weakly plantar flex the foot. Also, can lever movement as heel on court used as fulcrum. To me, this is a complete Achilles tendon rupture, but of course I hope to be wrong." So he's saying if you put your heel on the basketball court, you can get your foot to kind of move that way even if your Achilles is completely ruptured. I guess we just wait for the MRI tomorrow.
Probably a good idea.
I mean, today.
Yeah.
It was tomorrow. This evening. Last night. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think Golden State will play better now?
I don't know.
Like win one for the Durant?
I think they might have done that last night.
Yeah.
But they're also still a really good team, so have to wait and see. It was interesting that Steph walked off with Durant. Did you see what Steph said when asked about that? He's like, sometimes the spirit just makes a decision. Like, I don't even know what went through my brain. It just felt like the right thing to do. So I walked with him back to the locker room. Thought that was pretty unique.
Yeah, I didn't know if the game... Did the game start while he and Iguodala were... Like, were they...
Did the game start
with them, like, on, you know, quote-unquote, on the bench as they were not even in the... Not even on the bench? I can't remember. Or did they wait for them to come all the way back to start the game again?
I do not recall.
It did seem like that whole group was, you know, pretty tight. I mean, it didn't seem like there were any... I mean, obviously, I think even if you have some differences and you see a guy go down, you're going to care for him. But it seemed as genuine as it could be. It seemed like
I thought so.
You know, a group of guys that cared for one another and... you know, it seemed to actually really affect the relationships on the court. I don't know. I don't know about this. I'm sure Durant has some softness in his personality. I mean, the burner accounts, all that kind of stuff. But I'm also pretty sure that all that stuff kind of gets overblown too. You know what I mean? Like both those things can exist. So I mean that would make sense. And then if you're Toronto, like, you know, was this the moment? Have you blown your best chance to win it?
I don't know about best chance, but felt like a pretty damn good one. I mean, a lot of people were calling that a must-win game for Toronto. I think they were also saying that with the assumption that Durant was back and would be there for the duration. So now I think that has changed. The early line on game six is Warriors -3.5. So early line does favor the Warriors at home. Is that Thursday? Right? Thursday, 13th? Yeah. But yeah, this is weird. It's like I said earlier, I think this Warriors team can go one of two ways. They can kind of rally, which, I mean, is like the typical sports cliche. Or maybe everything kind of swirls around. Like, we'll learn more in the next couple of days. I don't know if we'll actually get the truth, but if it does come out that he was improperly diagnosed or forced back or pressured or lied to, then things change very, very quickly. You know, we mentioned DeMarcus Cousins and what he said after the game. That appeared to be in response to the fans cheering when Durant goes down, but I can't help but wonder, as the team gets more information, is it possible that they learn something that maybe doesn't go public and they do get frustrated with ownership, with team doctors, with the play at all costs mentality, if that is in fact what happened. So game six is going to be something. I dare say Oracle Arena will be wound pretty tight in a good way. But how the team responds to this news and whatever we learn in the next couple of days will be very, very telling.
Yeah, DeMarcus Cousins was asked about the response from the Toronto crowd, and he said, trash, so trash. But like I said, when we're behind the lines, it's superstar athletes, not human beings. It's always about what we do between those lines. That's it. That's all that ever matters. And then once we lash out and do human-type things, then we're considered bad guys. I mean, I think I think that's actually pretty true. I mean, I do think it's I don't know if I want to call it trashy, but it's definitely I definitely didn't like that they cheered the injury. I mean, we talked about that last segment a little bit. I don't think players should be considered bad guys if they have a human emotion or whatever. But sometimes that does happen. But I do think
do we remember Kawhi last year? I mean, do we remember that? When everyone's like, why is he out? What? He's been cleared. Why is he not playing? Why is he not playing? Why is he not playing? Now, you're seeing what happens when guys maybe play when they shouldn't. Maybe. Just saying hypothetically.
Yeah.
Because I believe Kawhi was cleared by Spurs doctors and just said, I know I'm not ready. But you've been cleared. You're passing all the tests. Okay, that's fine. But I'm not going back out there. Like, I know I'm not ready. We don't know what happened with Durant, but, I mean, we've seen this play out both ways. Kawhi was vilified in San Antonio for not playing, for not giving his all to the team, for not getting back out there as quick as he could. And now you're kind of seeing maybe the inverse of that, what happens when somebody comes back a little too soon. I mean, if you're a Warriors fan, you're probably thinking, well, at least now we know, right? We got his 11 points that we really needed, so good thing he did play. But at what cost to the person? Because that's the difference. That's what we're talking about. It's one thing if you can look at the game as chess pieces, right, as just statistical dots in what they give you, their average output, and, you know, oh, they had a spike tonight, or oh, they were worse than they normally are tonight. But, I mean, this changes Kevin Durant's future. This changes a lot. And it's kind of easy to separate, oh, well, this is an NBA team. I mean, this is obviously Knoxville, Tennessee. No one really is a diehard Warriors fan here. And if there are, they're few and far between. But, like, this is kind of a good case study for everybody when it comes to players and injuries. A lot of people probably don't care that much about Kevin Durant because, oh, yeah, he's a guy I watch on TV, but it didn't really impact my team. I just like watching him play. But this is pretty real if you're Kevin Durant and his crew, right? If you're his agent right now, mm-hmm. who was back there in the locker room, they mentioned that. They said it was a very emotional time in the locker room once Kevin went back there. And then obviously Durant now, this is a big roll of the dice that did not pay off. And now what happens to him in free agency? Does he now come back to the Warriors and kind of rehab for a year and make that $31 million? But then what? Then what happens? I mean, he's going to miss next season. Like, that is a done deal. And if he doesn't, it's because some doctor probably misdiagnosed him again, because you should probably not play for at least a year. But if you're like, what if you're the Knicks? You still rolling the dice on Kevin Durant? Because now it is a roll of the dice.
Yeah.
Hey, take a year off. I mean, it just changes everything. Like this guy's future is hanging in the balance right now, depending on the results of the MRI and obviously his recovery. I mean, I get it. We're sports fans. We want to watch the sports. But last night, I think, made it a little real for. I hope it made it a little more real for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's healthy to watch the game in both ways. You just kind of have to do it at the same time, you know. I mean, there's the game, and then there's the human beings that are playing it as well. It's just going to change everything. You know, the butterfly effect of him going down, changing not only this series, who wins a championship. Peter Burns just tweeted, the butterfly effect of Kevin Durant's injury last night might be the biggest in the NBA since the Cavaliers won the lottery and drafted LeBron. The fortune of this finals and the entire landscape of NBA free agency perhaps changed forever.
Yep. Everything is different today.
It's pretty wild. We'll come back with more Hour 2 of 3 and Out. Stick with us.
You're listening.
Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. Game 6, NBA Finals, Thursday at 9. You only got to wait 2 more days, Houston. And then until 9. Almost bedtime.
So stupid.
So it means Friday will be exhausted. I think Game 7 is at 8 on Sunday. So if there is a Game 7, that'll be a little earlier for you as we start next week. Still talking NBA Finals. So Billy was on this from the jump this morning. He said, KD, everybody thought he was going to leave, but he has a player option to stay with the Warriors. And if you're going to be hurt anyway, Like, the earliest he could come back, I would think, even in the most optimistic scenario, would be next year during the playoffs. I mean, if it's, I mean, hell, it might be like next year for the final. Wouldn't that, what if he did that, though? What if he came back next year for the finals of the Warriors and then, like, hurt some other muscle or something? That, anyway, so there's, everybody thought he was going to leave if he was fully healthy at the end of the season. But now that he's injured and may have to sit a whole year, does it make more sense to cash in the $31.5 million, just stay with the Warriors, either come back for the playoffs a little bit next year if possible, if not, no big deal, just stay out completely, and then he could still leave the Warriors and go somewhere else for the next season after that? Or does it make more sense to sign, I guess it'd be a longer-term contract with a different team and basically redshirt the first year of that deal and get paid and then play it out from there?
But that's the thing. Like, what, like, if you're the Knicks, are you just willing to do that?
I think I would
If you're any other team.
I think I would be. If I'm a team that has nothing right now. If I'm a team that can't compete right now.
If you're a team that can't compete and you throw all that money at Kevin Durant and he's never the same, you're fired.
Big risk.
You're fired.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a big risk. Or do
but
you,
if he is
do
the
you,
same.
Do you use that capital in other ways? Like the draft or free agent market for somebody else? Because, I mean, I know it's kind of assumed that he goes to the Clippers, but like Kawhi is a free agent. Do you change your direction if you're the Knicks? You say, hey, we were all in on Durant, but now let's get in the Kawhi sweepstakes. Let's
maybe
try to keep him from going to the Clippers.
Maybe you just play the board, right? So like Durant. Right,
that's what I'm asking.
Like, Durant was like the over the moon at 100% health. He was like the only option, like the option. But now that he's injured, needs a redshirt year. Now he slots in between some players somewhere. Maybe he's second. Maybe he's third.
But even that is like based on the assumption that he comes back to some high percentage of what he was before the injury. There's at least a chance he never fully gets back to Kevin Durant as we know him.
Yeah, you have to put some number on that.
So that's the question. And, I mean, of course, they're going to do all their research and get the medical files and all this and that. But, man. Like, if you're a Knicks fan, if you're a Knicks, you know, front office worker today, it's, oh, God. Because if you roll the dice, give Kevin Durant a contract of what he's worth, you know, because I don't think he leaves if you give him a you're injured contract. I think he's going to want a I'm Kevin Durant, I'm a free agent, pay me what I'm worth contract. If he can't get that, he probably stays in Golden State. But if you're the Knicks and you don't give it to him, You could rule yourself out of the Kevin Durant sweepstakes moving forward next year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, you don't want me now that I'm hurt? Well, okay, well, you're never going to have the option now, New York. Thank you, though. Appreciate it. I'm going to go re-sign with the Warriors for a year. Or there could be another team that comes back and says, we'll give you more than the Knicks. We can't offer you what you're worth because we don't have it, but we're willing to give you this. Oh, okay, well, I'm going to go sign with, I don't know who it would be, just hypothetically. So the Knicks and other teams that might be making a run at Kevin Durant are in a real tough spot. Because if you embarrass him by giving him a junk offer, you're out. But if you give him a good offer and it doesn't pan out, you're out. It's a very tough situation.
Is it a bad analogy to say the Lakers sort of did the same thing with LeBron? No, he doesn't have an injury when he signed there. However, you knew when he went to L.A. he wasn't going to be the same LeBron. They still paid him that money because he was LeBron. Is that not what the Knicks would do with KD?
I think
on the roster?
I think this situation is worse than what the Lakers did. Like, LeBron was banged up this year. But when he played, he was good. I don't think people – the Lakers were not a good team. They have young talent, but it's not nearly developed enough yet. Like, I don't think anyone expected, I mean, maybe, I don't remember what the odds were. Maybe some Laker fans thought LeBron could lead them to the playoffs, but with him being banged up and injured and all that, it just wasn't going to happen. But, I mean, he was LeBron. Like, he wasn't hurt. He was older, sure, but you could justify it as if he stays healthy and we get, you know, 80% of what he's been for the last 10 years, we're going to feel pretty good about that. This is a complete unknown
Would you be okay signing Durant knowing you're going to get 80% Durant?
Yeah, if I knew that. But that's the gamble. I mean, all these contracts are gambles. You sign LeBron James coming out of high school, and he tears his ACL. I mean, look at Derrick Rose. Can't miss. But then he couldn't stay healthy, and all the money that you paid him, I'm not saying it was worthless. I'm just saying you didn't get out of Derrick Rose, if you're the Bulls, what you hoped to get out of him, because injuries are part of the game. It just happens. But it's one thing if I don't know the injury is coming versus the guy has a torn Achilles right now, which is a year, and I have to make my move. My guess is there will be some team that does roll the dice on Durant. Maybe multiple teams. If it's me, that is a tough way to go. If I'm calling the shots for the Knicks, based on the information I have today, so no medical files, no MRI, no nothing, I am terrified to offer him the contract I would have had he been 100% healthy. Because if he never makes it back to 80% Durant, 90% Durant, if he comes back and is just kind of a marginal player, you're fired. So is it worth it? And that's what we're kind of waiting on. The MRI will tell us a lot. Is it a partial tear? Is it a complete tear? Is it a ruptured calf muscle? Is it not the Achilles at all? Like, we just don't know. But God, it's tough, man. I'm trying to think of another scenario. I mean, Denver did this with Peyton. I guess that's probably the best one. No one knew. Indy said, "We're out. Sorry, you may never play football again. So we're gonna go ahead and release you. You can do whatever you want." And John Elway did the research, got the info, and said, "Okay, I'm going. We're gonna get Peyton Manning. We're gonna bring him in. We're gonna see what happens. I won a Super Bowl. Played for two. And was it year two in Denver or year one? We broke every single record that existed."
I think if Peyton had been a little younger, it would have been even better. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. But there was also the chance that he didn't play again, right? I mean, and you would have had all this money tied up in a player that – or what if – I mean, I know they won the Super Bowl that year, but if that had been the version of Peyton Manning you got the whole time, that feels very different also. If riding off into the sunset version of Peyton Manning, the guy who could throw it like 20 yards – was what you got from Jump Street. I don't know that Denver fans and executives are as happy with that situation as they ultimately were. So that's the question with Durant. How much of his elite basketball does he have the capability of achieving again?
If I'm the New York Knicks, I think I'd do it. There were 13 NBA teams that won more games this year than the Knicks have won the past two seasons. They've only won over 50 games one time since 2000. To Nate's point, like, so what do you have? What,
yeah,
do you have to,
you're
lose?
You're saying we're already so bad,
yeah,
that this gives us the best chance of maybe being not the worst.
Yeah, this is your best pitch to hit, basically. And you might still miss it, but this is your chance. I guess that's where I am right now.
I guess when you look at it like that, I mean, because I know the Knicks are terrible. I know they have been for a long time, but I'm not like invested. But yeah, I mean, when you put it that way, it's like, I mean, sure. What the hell? Why not? I guess it's kind of like Tennessee in the coaching search. You know, it's just like who the hell ever, man? Like if Mike Leach, the crazy pirate guy, why not? What do you got to lose? Bring him on. Let's have some fun. He can't recruit, and he might stink. He might put a kid in the closet. I don't really care. Can't get much worse than it has been. Just go ahead and bring him over.
In professional sports, isn't it better to swing and strike out or hit home runs?
Don't go down looking.
Than to be in the middle of the pack and never have a great draft pick, but never have a great season?
Yes. Well, that's you want to be elite or so bad it's funny. That's what the Knicks are.
And you're, yeah.
That's what we were talking about with hitting on NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think the worst thing in the world would be to have just an average quarterback who you don't want to get rid of because you might do worse.
It's 7-9, Jeff Fisher. You don't want to be 7-9.
Yeah. I mean, that's exact. That's exact.
You'd rather be 3-13.
Like roll the dice on something different, especially for the Knicks because you've been there for so long. You've been so bad. Mm. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
It really was the Tennessee coaching search. It's just like at some point you just throw it all out the window and say what the hell ever. Yeah, we're gonna go down swinging. Oh, you want Jim Chaney for $1.5 million? All right,
let's go.
Oh, you want Derek Ansley for $1 million?
Let's sure. go.
Whatever, dude. You got it. Final. You want to play paintball? All right. Play some paintball. I don't care. You want this guy from Alaska? We call him Moose. You want him to be your lead recruiter? All right. Whatever. Here's the jet money. See ya.
You're listening to...
Final segment, hour number two of the program. It's been all NBA Finals.
Really, not that much. It's been a lot of injury discussion and free agency talk. The Finals did just get... I can't wait to see the ratings for last night. Had to be the most watched. Because if people weren't watching, they heard about the injury and tuned in. But now this Finals looks totally different. Really big win for the Warriors, though, to hang on. I mean, they were only up, what, 5 or 6 at the time of the injury? They went on a little spurt after, and then the fourth quarter, it felt like Toronto was about to get that thing done. They took a 6-point lead, and then Clay and Steph hit big shots.
And they called timeout.
That was weird. I saw a lot of people, discrediting Toronto's coaching staff for the way they handled the last couple of minutes. There's not much you can do about Clay and Steph just burying really hard threes, like difficult shots. But the timeout was curious.
I didn't hate it.
You said it to start. Like they were tired, they were gassed, but so is Golden State. Not only are they gassed, they're dealing with the emotional weight of Durant's injury and like the future. I mean, not even of the game, but of their dynasty. There's a lot weighing, and then you kind of give them a reset button by calling that timeout. It was different.
And then they
fell into the same problem they had in game. Was it game one? Or game two, perhaps, where they just kind of went cold. They couldn't hit shots. They were missing bunnies. They got away from what got them the 6-point lead in the first place. And then, I mean, I hate to do it, it's so cliche, but like that's what champions do, right? Like that's what Clay and Steph are going to do. Like it's even a banged up Warriors team. You had to think they weren't going to roll over. And it was strange to give them that catch your breath moment by calling the timeout there. A lot of upset people in Toronto and across our country, people who just want to see the Warriors kind of go down in flames. That timeout was something, but they also kind of failed to hit shots there at the end.
I didn't hate the timeout because you had the whole game at your feet, though. You were able to pick how you wanted to set up the end of this game. And one of my great assistant coaches, as I was coaching high school basketball, who actually had been assistant to college level, said, "Nate, remember, when you call timeout, the other guy gets one too."
Yep.
And
that's profound.
Yeah, I mean, it really is, because sometimes you want to call a timeout. Sometimes you need to remind your guys, or you need to rest your guys, or you need to you want to accomplish something during a timeout. I mean, that's why you take one, right? But you have to remember that sometimes you're helping the other team because they don't have to spend one, and B, they might need it more than you do. It reminded me of that Tennessee-Kentucky stretch where like everybody was just gassed forever. And I kind of wish Rick Barnes had called a timeout, and he didn't. And I'm not even talking about a stretch where Kentucky made a huge run. It was like a stretch in that first weird game where they wouldn't call any fouls, and neither team could score because it was a bloodbath.
Yeah.
It had kind of turned into that, and I actually thought that gave Toronto the edge. And I think I would have rode that as long as possible. But, I mean, Toronto had the basketball. You have the basketball with 3 minutes left, up 6.
And Kawhi Leonard's just scored 5 straight in about 30 seconds.
And I can't remember.
38 seconds. He hits the uh, He hits the three. They go up 101-97. Iguodala misses a shot because he missed a bunch. Kyle Lowry gets the rebound. They push tempo a little bit. They get a good shot for Kawhi. Hits the 16-foot. I mean, I don't think either of those shots hit the rim. Like, Kawhi was, he was feeling it right then. I'm surprised they didn't go one more possession just to see if he could get another bucket. But no, they didn't. Steph comes down, misses the three. Van Vliet gets the rebound. And I'm thinking, oh, man, they could push it here. They could get a dunk. They could get a three. They could get a foul. And all of a sudden, this thing unravels for the Warriors. Timeout.
Yeah.
Whoa. You called it. Why? Why would you do that? Why would you not just push? The announcers, everybody on Twitter was freaking out. Why are you calling a timeout? You're stopping your own run. You're the one in the middle of the 5-0 run. You don't call the timeout there. Kawhi can't miss. Get him the ball and just let him attack. Worst case scenario, he probably gets fouled and goes to the line. I mean, they call a timeout. Allow the Raptor or the Warriors to sub.
Yeah. Iguodala came into the game.
No, Cook came in for Iguodala.
Sorry. Yeah, and then Iguodala came back. I scrolled down in my play-by-play here.
Then who misses the next shot? Kawhi.
He scored 10 straight during that. Like that.
I mean, he was gassed right there, but you're going to run the clock down up 6.
Yeah, he scored the 10 for the Raptors. There was a Draymond bucket in there, but yeah.
I mean, like
that's what I'm saying. He was white hot. Like, he was untouchable. You cooled Kawhi. Like, you iced Kawhi Leonard by calling that timeout.
You could have let your guy stand around for 10 to 15 seconds on that possession.
Exactly. That's
catch
what I'm
their
saying.
Breath for a second and then go again.
And then just iso Kawhi and let him do his thing because he was feeling it. Instead, you call the timeout. He goes to the bench.
They did get him a shot, but he missed it.
That's what I'm saying. You iced him.
And then the Warriors come down. That was that really good ball movement play where they got the ball actually inside and then kicked it out. And then one more pass over to Clay. And he buries
that
the three.
That was a really good set that Kerr probably had time to draw up.
And that was the game right there, probably. I mean, if he misses that, it's probably over.
Yeah. And then Lowry comes down. He misses a three. They trade possessions one more time. Oh, that was the – that's right. They got DeMarcus Cousins on the goaltend, which was really close. I do think it was the right call.
Yeah.
But international rules, that's a dunk for them. What was the backcourt turnover? I don't remember that one. What was that turnover by Lowry? Did he just pass out of bounds?
Oh, Lowry.
That's who it's on, but I'm trying to remember that play. And then that
was
the one where
it was the one where it almost was like a shot clock violation too. Remember they didn't get a shot? Like they ran offense and just like basically never could get a shot and then tried to pass it out kind of late in the clock.
Okay, yeah.
It went in between two guys
that's right.
Lowry chased it down.
And then that's when Steph came and hit that. I don't even know if he looked at the rim when he shot it. His body was so twisted, and it was just perfect switch.
And then Draymond had that weird backcourt, too.
Well, that was on Curry.
That was on Curry, yeah. He just lost the ball, and Draymond was like, come on. Between his legs or behind his back. That was a dumb play, whatever it was.
Oh, didn't Draymond have the other backcourt where his foot was on the...
I don't remember that one. I just remember the one where Steph crosses half court and then tries to make a move and just loses the ball.
Yeah.
And they were they trying to look to see? Maybe that's the one you're talking about where they thought it might have been tipped and it wasn't for Draymond.
No, that's
yeah, that was ugly. And then I don't know. I thought the last shot by Lowry, not a bad look, but Draymond gets out there and gets a piece of it. I don't know if he got credit for that block, but the replay clearly showed he got the middle finger on it just enough to put it into the side of the backboard. Everyone was thinking, oh, gosh, Lowry, not clutch. No, Draymond he had a pretty good game. He was what, 2 assists short of a triple-double? I think he had 10 rebounds, 11 points, and 8 assists. But that's just that little championship edge. Like, it's not going to be easy. Even with all stacked against them, like, they're still the Warriors. They're still, what, 3 out of 4 defending champs? Probably should be 4 out of 4.
Draymond Green basically guarded Gasol and Lowry there once Iguodala left and went to trap Kawhi, which is really impressive, especially when you're only up one. I mean, because if he pops out on Lowry too early, slip to Gasol for
saying.
A dunk at the buzzer.
If he goes
to win.
Too hard too fast on either of those guys, it's a wide open look for Lowry in the corner, shortest three in the game, or a dunk to Gasol. I thought he played it perfectly. Perfect hedge.
We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number 3. Stick with us right here. You're listening to Fox Sports Knoxville.